Let's start again from the two dots at the very top of Kuf Yud Aleph on the base. The Mishnah had said that if a person stole an object, and then he left the object to his children inherited the object, he passed away, Keturin Milishalim, they do not have to pay the object back to the victim. Amar Rami Bar Chama, Rami Bar Chama suggested, Zosomeres, Vishus Yorish, Krishus Lokeach Dami. The explanation of this law of the Mishnah is that if a person inherits, that's the equivalent of a transfer of ownership. That's like getting a gift or like buying. And therefore, what's going on here is that there was Yush, there was despair. And now, after the despair, there was inheritance. So it's Yush, Vishina Rishus, despair and a change of possession. That's why the orphans don't need to pay. Rav Amar Rava said, no, Rishus Yorish, Lav Kishus Lokeach Dami. Inheriting is not the same thing as receiving a gift. Inheriting really is just continuing the old ownership. So Achav Mayaskinan here, what's the case of the Mishnah when the Mishnah said if the father left the stolen objects to the children don't need to return them? The case is Kisha Achlum. After the father died, the children ate the object. So since the children ate the object, so now the object itself is not around to be returned. What are you going to say? There's a mitzvah to pay for the object? That's an obligation on the thief. But they are not the thieves. Their father stole. So therefore, they don't need to pay. Says the Gemara, Hamidik Tani Seifa, since it said in the end of the Mishnah, if this object that their father left them is something well known, anyone who sees it can understand the whole story and know that the father stole, Chayavon L'sham, then they need to give it back because of their father's honor. Michlal Dereisha, that implies that the first case when they don't need to give back when they inherited their father is when there is an object, it's just not well known. It's that the object is here. Just that it's not a very famous object. Rava said, no. This is what the Mishnah means. When it says, it doesn't mean that the object is well known. It means the following. If their father left them land, they need to pay because there was a lien on the land. Once the father stole, there's a lien to pay that amount back, and that lien is on the land. And therefore, even though they consume the object, they need to pay. Ask the Gemara, V'hamasni le Rebbe l'Rib Shimon Brei. But we know that Rebbe taught this Mishnah to Rebbe Shimon, his son, and he explained the following. Lo davar sheyesh b'achrayus mamish. When I write in this Mishnah, that if the father left an object with responsibility, the child who inherits has to pay, doesn't mean literally an object with responsibility, namely land. Even if what the father left was a cow, but it's a very famous cow, and the son wants to plow with it. The father left a stolen donkey, and the son wants to pursue it. They need to return it. Because when people see this cow or they see this donkey, they're going to start asking, oh, I know that story of that donkey. Oh, the father stole it. So it's for the honor of the father. Elam Rava. So therefore, Rava said, Kishachivna, when I'm going to die, Rav Oshia Nafik Levasi. Rav Oshia is going to come out to greet me in heaven and he's going to be thankful to me. I'm going to explain Mishnayos that they're following his brisos. The Tani Rav Oshia, Tani Brisa. Hagozilu Machilas Banav. If somebody steals and he feeds it to his children ate it, and then he dies, they don't have to pay. But if he left the object in front of them, then they do need to pay it back. If the object is not in front of them, because they already consumed it after their father died, they don't need to pay anything. If their father left them land, then even though they've already eaten the object, they need to pay. So it comes out that according to Rava, the Mishnah is in fact talking about when the father gave them something, but right now that's not around. Why do they need to pay? if he left them land also, they need to pay because on the land there was a lien. But in terms of the stolen object, if there was no land left over, and they already consumed the stolen object, they would not need to pay. I think the opposite, right?
The opposite, yeah.
Yeah. If there was yiush, you inherit. If there wasn't yiush, if there was despair, you acquire it. Or actually, that's just the view of Rami Bar Chama. According to Rava, right? According to Rava, even with despair, right? According to Rava, even with despair, correct, you could not inherit stolen goods. It's only when the object is gone that he doesn't need to pay. But if there was land, he would need to pay. Right, that's the view of Rava. Good, yeah.
Because of the food, it's lo ba'ona, that's why they're not chayvim, because other thing, they're not tattoo.
Correct, once it's gone, that's right, that's correct. Okay.
Well, you know, Rabbi, the Muslim is exactly opposite of this. You know, money to my father, I remember that, and the guy died. And my father went to the house, and they were sitting shiva. Knock on the door, your husband owed me money, you know. This is the proof. You bring the money immediately, right away.
Interesting. What was that? No, it's a question.
It says it's obligated to return the items for the father's honor. But it's right. Almost like the reverse, because if you admit something was stolen, it's almost disgracing.
No, because everybody knows that it was stolen. Everybody's talking about it, so at least let them stop talking about it and fix the problem. Amar, we learned, if the object, the stolen object, is not around, then they are exempt from paying it back, as long as they didn't inherit land. So name it to Evi, to you have to do Rav Chisda. So this Bryce of Rav Oshia is a disproof of Rav Chisda, because Rav Chisda says that if it was before Yiyush, if somebody stole an object and there hasn't yet been despair and somebody else came and consumed it, that other person needs to pay. Here, there's been before Yiyush, and we say that even though the children, they're like that other person who consumes it, they don't need to pay. Rav Chisda will tell you, Kitanya hi le'achar Yiyush. The price that says that the children don't have to pay is if they consumed it after despair. Amar Mar, we just learned, Zela Kayemes, if the object is still around, Chayav and Lashalim, they need to give the object back. Name it Evi Tiyuf to the Rami Bar Chama. That seems to be against Rami Bar Chama, who said that, you know, like what it seems to be that Roger's right and Rami Bar Chama's wrong. Roger said you can't inherit stolen goods. Rami Bar Chama said that after despair, you could inherit stolen goods. So Rami Bar Chama will tell you, Kitan Yahi. I believe that that price that said you have to return it is lifnei yiush, is before despair. But after despair, since Rami Bar Chama believes that inheriting is like buying, it's despair and change of ownership, and he would not have to return.
Rabbi, doesn't it teach a wrong thing to the children? You know, I think by taking the stolen thing of the father and not to return it, I think it gives them a wrong impression, no? Don't they?
Maybe. Rav Adar Bar Ahava Masni Lahad Rami Bar Chama Aha. Rav Adar Bar Ahava taught the lesson of Rami Bar Chama on the following brisa. The brisa says, "Iniach Lenavi and Mo Shel Ribis." If the father had been lending with interest and he left to his children monies that he had gotten as interest payments, Afa Pishi Yodin Shein Shel Ribis, even though the children know it's interest monies, Ein Chayav Lahach, so they don't need to return it. Rambam Bar Chama said, "Zosa Meres." I'll tell you why. Because Rishus Yorish Krishus Lokeach Dami. That the one who inherits is like the one who buys. It's a transfer of ownership, and since it's now in a new domain, it's not the domain of the one who had collected the interest. They don't need to pay.
But is the interest charged to another Jew? Or
yeah, to another Jew.
Oh, because it's not a problem if it's not a Jew.
Right. Correct. Yeah, to a Jew.
So it's not the father, no? So why is patur?
No, it's not like the father. It's like a buyer. It's like someone who would buy from the father.
Different domain.
It's a new domain.
So
That's what Rami Bar Chama, according to, that's the way Rav Adi Bar Ahava taught the lesson of Rami Bar Chama. So Rav Amar Rava said, no. I could tell you that normally inheriting is not the same as buying. Shiny hacha, but here it was different. Amar Kar, because the pasuk says about interest, al tikach meito neshech v'tarbis, don't take from him interest, ahadule, return to him, k'heichi denichye ba'adach, so that he can live with you. So l'didei kamazel erachmana, Hashem is giving this warning to the person who's charging the interest. Librei lo mazur le'rachman. This is a special pasuk. The person who charges the interest has to pay it back, but implying only him and not anybody else. And that also makes sense, because at the end of the day, interest is normal business. The guy was agreeing to give the interest. It's a chiddush of the Torah that even though everything is really by right, he has to give it back. So the Torah said, who has to give it back? Only the one who lends, but not his child. So, Madam Asinla Braisa, Ravad Bar Havu said that Rami Bar Chama said this idea that inheritance is like purchase based on the Braisa, that an inheritor doesn't have to pay back interest funds. Koshkin Amasnis. So, certainly he would say it about our Mishnah that if you say an inheritor doesn't have to pay back a stolen object, obviously that's because an inheritor is like a purchaser. However, Madam Asinla Masnisim, the one who said it on our Mishnah, that an inheritor doesn't have to pay back the stolen goods because he's like a purchaser and his despair and Shina Rishos. Aval Abraisa, but in terms of the Braisa, namely in terms of the case of interest, maybe Rami Bar Chama Karava Masnila. He would tell you that Rami Bar Chama agrees to Rava, that an interest is a special pasuk that says that only the one who lent with interest has to pay it back. And since there's a pasuk saying only he has to pay it back, his children don't have to pay it back, but not because his children are considered like people who purchased from him. It's because of the special verse that they don't have to pay back interest payments.
Does an inheritor automatically get title, or they have to do a kinyan?
They don't have to do a kinyan. It's automatic. It's automatic.
Automatic. So
that's correct. That's part of why we have this question.
Right.
Whether they're like a purchaser or not.
Right.
That's right. Tanu Rabbanan, our sages taught us in a Braisa. Hagozel, if a person steals, umachiles banav, and then he gave it to his children to eat, and then he dies, tur milishalim, they don't need to pay anything. He niach lifneyem, but he died and the object is still in front of them. If gedolim, if they are adults, chayavim l'sham, they need to pay the object back. If they are ktanim, if they are children, p'turim l'sham, then they don't need to pay back, because children are unable to go through a court case, so they don't need to pay back. Im amru gedolim, einon yodim cheshbono shechashav avinu imcha. And if when the victim comes and tries to get the object back, the adult children said, you know, we don't know. Maybe our father paid you. We're not sure we still owe you this object back. Then p'turin. Then they don't need to pay back. So I said, what? Mishum da'ami ain't on the yodim p'turin, because they say they don't know, they don't need to pay back. A victim comes and says, I know you stole this object from me. Your father stole this object from me. That was my object. Your witnesses, that was my object. He says, well, maybe father worked something out. Maybe he worked something out. Maybe he didn't work something out. Because of your maybe and their certainty should lose. Amar Rav, Rav explained, okay, come, this is what's going on. Gedolim sh'amru. But if the adult children say, not with maybe, but with certainty, Yodim anu cheshbon shechash avinu imcha, we have records of our father's events, of what he paid, and we know he paid you off. Lo pash l'cha gabei v'lo midi, we know that he doesn't owe you anything. Then the adult children are exempt from paying. Tanya Yidach, we looked at another braisa. Hagozel umachil, if a person steals and then he gives it to his children to eat it and then he dies, the children don't have to pay. If he died and the object is still in front of them, and after it was in front of them, they ate it. Bing dolim bing tanim, whether they are adult or minors, chayav, they have to pay. Ask the Gemara, k'tanim, children have to pay? I don't understand. Mi machayvi, the object was eaten. Lo yehel adazik azuki. Let it be any time where a child damages. When a child damages, we know that a child does not have to pay. He doesn't have responsibilities. Rav Papa, explain. This is what it means. If he left it before them. And they haven't consumed it. So if the object is still here, according to this braisa, since the object is still here, that's why, even if it's children, you have to return it. Because at the end of the day, it's just him reclaiming his object. When would there be an opinion that a child doesn't have an obligation? If a child needs to pay something. But this is his object, the victim's object that's in front of us. So then even the child has to stand down and allow the victim to reclaim the object. Good, it seems to be against Rav Chisda. My Rava said, let's say a father dies, and he had borrowed a cow. So if he had borrowed the cow for 45 days, and now it's 20 days into the loan, they can use it for the next 25 days, next 20 days. Mesa, however, if it would die, in Chayavim Bonsa, they would not be responsible to pay for the fact that it died by ones, even though normally a borrower has to pay for onsin, for damage that happens out of one's control, because they never accepted to watch it. So since they had not accepted to watch it, they don't have that responsibility. Kasvurin Shalaviyami, let's say they thought that it was their father's cow, that he owned it. Utvachua, and they slaughtered it. Vachlua, and they ate the meat. So then, Meshalmin me basar bezol. It was a mistake. They didn't think it was stolen. They didn't think they were stealing. They thought they were eating their father's stuff. So they pay only 2/3 of the price of the meat. They pay a reduced price. If their father left them with land, and they had destroyed this cow that he had borrowed, since when he borrowed the cow, there was a lien on the land, they inherit the land, they have to pay. Some read this point of leaving the land over on the first case, that if it died, Ba'ones, then they would have to pay. Some read on the last case that if they ate it thinking that it was their father's, if there was land, then they have to pay. The one who read that this law, that if there was land they need to pay, is referring to a case of where it died Ba'ones. Koshkena Seifa. So certainly, if they actually, you know, with their own hands killed it, if there was land, they would need to pay. But pligad Rav Papa, and that would be against the view of Rav Papa. Man demasin la sefer, the one who said that if there was land, they need to pay, is referring to the case of when they slaughtered. Aval areishalo, but if this borrowed cow dropped dead, then they don't need to pay. Behind the Rav Papa, and that is like Rav Papa. What's this point of Rav Papa? I'm Rav Papa. Rav Papa's like this. Aisa para genuvalo, if a person stole a cow, utvacha b'shabtz, and on Shabbos he slaughtered it. So Rav Papa said, chay, and it's not considered a case of kam lebidirab minei, because the obligation to pay started when he stole the cow. Whereas the kimle b'drabim, the punishment of death for violating Shabbos, only happened on Shabbos. However, shekvar chiyav b'gneiva kodem shevel deis for Shabbos, the obligation of for the theft was even before the obligation of Shabbos came. But haisa para she'ulalo, but if a person borrowed a cow, utvacha b'Shabbos, if on Shabbos he slaughtered it, then he's potter, then he's exempt. Why? Because at the moment of borrowing, we don't say the moment of borrowing was an obligation. The moment of borrowing, it was his. The moment of slaughtering is the moment of stealing and the obligation, and that's the moment of violating Shabbos. Shishu Shabbos v'sugneva b'ayin ke'echad. Here the violation of Shabbos and the violation of the theft are happening at the exact same time. moment. So therefore, according to Rav Papa, you see that a borrower isn't obligated until the borrowed item actually dies. It's not obligated at the moment of borrowing. It's obligated at the moment when the item dies. So therefore, if a father borrowed and then children slaughtered, even though the if the father borrowed and it died in the hands of the children would not have to pay even though there was land that the father left, because it's not the moment of borrowing that creates the obligation. It's the moment of the loss of the borrowed object that creates the obligation. Whereas, according to those who disagree with Rav Papa, they feel that even in borrowing, the obligation occurs at the moment of borrowing. And therefore, if one borrowed and then he died, but when he had borrowed, he had had land. So at the moment of borrowing, there was already a lien, there was an obligation on the land. He died, then his children inherit him, and then they're using this borrowed object, and then the object drops dead. They still need to pay, because the lien already was created at the moment of the borrowing.
So isn't that only if there was a collateral of that, the collateral was set up at the time of borrowing? There might not have been...
No, land automatically becomes a collateral for whatever loan. Backed. Yeah. The question is, how do you understand borrowing?
But if it was a cow... They still have to return the cow, don't they? The children?
She got slaughtered.
If the cow would be alive, they would have to return the cow.
In the form of rib steaks,
but if
a cow is alive and the father had borrowed it, they certainly have to give it back.
Okay, now, when you talk about the adult children, okay, so let's say the guy has five children, one of them is adult, the rest of them are small kids, you know. Would that consider as adult children, or they all have to be adult?
No. You have adults then.
So one of them be adult, that's it. That would take care of the adult.
Yes. Tana Rabban and our sages taught in a braisa. The pasuk says, "Veheshev es hagzela asher gazal," and he is to return the stolen object that he stole. Matam alomer asher gazal. Why did it add and say that he stole? So it means like this. Yachzir kein shegazal. When do you return? When the object is still like the way it was when it was stolen. Mikan Amru, that's where our source, based on this pasuk, this is the source for the following. Agozel, if a guy steals, umachil esbanav, and he feeds it to his children, and then he dies, Pturin, the children are exempt from the sham. They don't need to pay, because it's not the way it was when it was stolen. Hiniach lifneim, if he left it before them, and it's still extant, so bang dolem bang tanim chayav, whether they are adult children or minor children, they have to give back the object. Mishum sumchis amru, sumchis though said, gdolim chayav, adult children have to give back, ktanim or pturim, minors are exempt. So the Gemara relates a story.
Minors at the time of the death or at the time of the borrowing?
At the time of the death.
Rabbi, is there any significance that they say that if robs another of food and feeds it to his children, they're exempt from paying. But if he left stolen goods, so is there, are they trying to make the difference between food and stolen goods?
No, the difference between is whether the object is gone or the object is still around. Food was eaten, so that'll be gone.
I don't know if they're looking at goods.
No, the issue is not goods. The issue is what is the stolen object still extant? Is it still in front of us?
It's not a question that's a
so the Gemara relates a story. Bar Chamua, the son of the father-in-law, namely the brother-in-law of Rabbi Yirmiya, was an orphan. And Rabbi Yirmiya took the house, right, it was his brother-in-law. Rabbi Yirmiya took the house of his father-in-law. So what did this child do? Tarak Gali Ba'ape. The child went and he slammed shut the door of his father, Ba'apid Rabbi Yirmiya, in the face of Rabbi Yirmiya, and he wouldn't allow Rabbi Yirmiya into the house of his of Rabbi Yirmiya's father-in-law, this boy's father. Asala Kamed Rabbi Avin. So Rabbi Yirmiya went to Rabbi Avin. Amar Lo, so Rabbi Avin told him, he's doing the right thing by locking you out of the house. Shalo hu toveya, because he's trying to hold on to his own object. Amarle, Sir Birmia said, but I have witnesses that I spent a full 3 years in this house when my father-in-law, his father, was alive. Nobody protested. It's my house. I have a chazaka. Amar le, Rav Avin said back to Yirmiyahu, v'chi mekablin edu shelo b'fnei baal din. Would we even accept testimony? Here you have a child, your brother-in-law. Your child is a minor. He can't come into court. So could we accept witnesses without the person against whom it's being testified there to defend himself? He can't defend himself. He's a child. He can't come into the court. So the fact that you have witnesses is meaningless because we can't listen to their testimony. Asked your Birmiya Velo, why couldn't you listen to the testimony? Vakatani, but what about our Bryce? Our Bryce has said that if a guy stole and the object is still extant, being dolim, being tanim chayavim, whether the children are adults or minors, they need to give it back. Now, how's the child going to give it back? There's going to have to be testimony against him. But he's a child. He can't defend himself. So you see that you can have testimony against someone who can't defend himself. Amar le, so Rav Abba said back to him, Harei machlok sumcha betzidach, but sumcha said that the child is not going to be made to be paid back. So you see that there are people who agree with me that we won't have testimony against a child because a child can't defend himself. So Amar Rav Yirmiya said back, Ichbul kuli alma v'koy kesumcha slavkui ledidi. I understand the whole world is lining up to agree with Sumchus to cause me to lose my court case, to lose the land that I'm sure is mine. I can't bring in witnesses to keep me in this house that I know I bought because everybody agrees with Sumchus suddenly that you can't bring witnesses against children. Adachi, so while they were having this back and forth, Iglai Milsad came out that also Matalakamidirbavo, you know, as Iskalgal Milsa, Adahaki, as this was going on, Iskalgal Milsa, the matter rolled, and also Lakamid Rebavo came to Rebavo. Amas Rebavo said to them, Lo Shmiel Luchu, didn't you hear? Had Rav Yosef Barchama and Rav Oshia. This Rav Yosef Barchama said in Rav Oshia. So Am Rav Yosef Barchama and Rav Oshia, Rav Yosef Barchama said in Rav Oshia, Tinok Shetakaf Ba'avadav, a young child who together with his slaves grabs Yard the Toch Stachel Chaver, goes into his friend's field, Farmer Shalihu, and he's claiming it's my field now. We don't say let's wait till he grows up. But we take it away from him. When he grows up, let him bring his witnesses where he claims that it's his field. Then Aaron will see if he's right. So the same way we had that Brisa from Rav Oshia, in the case of Rav Yirmiyah as well, Rav Yirmiyah was in this house. Now there's a child who came and is locking the door to keep Rabbi Yirmiyah out. You know what? We're going to take the kid out, and we'll wait till he's an adult, and then we'll deal with his issues. But for now, we'll give it back to Rabbi Yirmiyah. Mara rejects Rav Avo. Me dummy, how is that even comparable? There a child came. We threw the child out of the field because the child was not continuing a possession that his father had. He was trying to grab something from us. But in the case of Rabbi Yirmiyah, this was a child who had a chazaka. It had been his father's field. He's claiming that it was still his father's. So lo, we won't take it away from him. Rather, we can't have a court case now because he's a minor. Rabbi Yirmiyah has to wait. And when he gets to be an adult, Rabbi Yirmiyah could bring his witnesses and maybe get the land away from him. So now we get into this discussion. Do we bring testimony against someone if that person's not there to defend himself? Amar Rav Ashri, Rav Ashri said, Amar Rav Shabtai taught, Mekablam Edim Shelo B'fnei Baal Din, we can accept witnesses even when the person that they are accusing is not around to defend himself. Rabbi Yochanan was very upset by that. Can you accept witnesses when the guy's not here to defend himself? He was sure that you couldn't. So the Gemara now asks, Kiblamine Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina. So Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina, actually the Gemara explains, Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina heard from Rabbi Yochanan. Let's say the man that the claim against him is sick. Oh, eight of cholim, or his witnesses are sick. Or I, the guy making the claim, have witnesses who are sick. And I'm worried that they're going to die. or my witnesses are about to travel, the shalchulo, and the court in fact invited the guy who's the victim, who they're testifying against, for Loba, and he refused to come, then we would accept testimony even when he is not around. Because, you know, we have a very limited amount of time, so we have to help the guy out, because if we say to him, wait till that guy can come in, he won't be able to present his case. I'm Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Rav Yehuda said the name of Shmuel, Makabim Edim, Shalom Bifnei Baal Din. We can accept testimony even against someone, even when he's not there to defend himself. Amar Mukvar, Mar Ukvar also said, Lodim Yifishalim Minei, to Shmuel. When Shmuel said this, Shmuel explained to me, it's not a blanket rule. It's not that we always accept witnesses against someone even when he's not there. Rather, it's to go into Paschal Ebedine. We already began the court case. V'shol Chule, and they invited him to come to hear the testimony against him. V'lo Asa, and he just didn't show up. So then we'll let the witnesses testify. Avalo Paschal Ebedine, but if they had not begun the court case yet, then Matzi Amarle, then the victim could say, Ana lebezdin agad lazilna. I refuse to go to this court case. I'm insisting on going to a better court, and I'm going to bring my witnesses there. I want to go there, and then we, the lower court, couldn't hear the case. So the Gemara asks, really, Iyach, if the person can always, you know, shop jurisdictions. So kipaskele nami, even when he would have begun a court case, Matzi Amarle lebezdin agad lazilna. Why can't he claim, I want to go to a better court? Ravina explained, if these judges have a note from the higher court empowering them to deal with the case, then he can't move from this court to a higher court. Rav taught, let's say you have an IOU, witnesses signed it. Now we know that to collect from the IOU, we need to validate their signatures. They want to leave town. So what are we going to do? Mekaymes hashtar, we can validate their signatures because they want to leave town. Shlo b'fnei baal din, even though the borrower is not around to maybe contest it. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, ain't mekaymes hashtar shlo b'fnei baal din. Rabbi Yochanan said, you can't validate a signatures without the guy there. Amar Rav Sheshes Rabbi Yosi Rav Avo, as baruch lo in time of Rabbi Yochanan, I'll explain to you the reasoning of Rabbi Yochanan. Amar Kach, because the pasuk says, v'hu ad b'val v'lo yishmerenu, that if an animal kills, it is to be convicted in front of its owner. The Torah says, Yavu Bala Shorviyam and Al Shoro, that the person who's about to lose his ox is to come into the court and to hear the testimony against him. So you see that whenever you want to make a person lose money, he needs to be there to be able to hear the claims against him to maybe defend himself. Amar Rava said, Hilchus of the Allah is Mekamis the Shtar Shlobifnei Baldin. We can validate a document even when the man is not there. And even if he's claiming, don't you dare validate it with all sorts of complaints. But if he says, listen, give me a little bit of time because I have witnesses who will disprove the document, then we do give him a little bit of time. If he came back with his witnesses, Asa, fine. If he didn't come back, so then we start collecting the loan. How do we do that? We give him a Monday, Thursday, Monday. You know, those are the 3 days of Beis Din. Ilo Asa, if he still hasn't come, Kasvina P'ticha Leve. We write against him a document of a Nidui that we're about to excommunicate him for not coming. Then we wait another Tishin Yom, another 90 days. Plus and comma, those first 30 days, Lo Nachtina L'Nichse, we're not going to grab his possessions. Because we figure Katarach Bezuzi V'Nezuf, he's running around to try to borrow the money to pay back. The middle 30 days, Mitzia Nami Lo Nachtina L'Nichse, we don't go into his possessions, because we say, Dumelo Ashkech L'Mezaf, maybe he wasn't able to find a way to borrow money, the Katarach Umazbi is now trying to sell his stuff. Basrai, the last 30 days, so we don't grab his possessions to Amar, because we say, the buyer is trying to get together his money to pay for the objects that he's buying so that the seller will be able to pay back the loan. If Lo Asif, still after the 90 days, he still hasn't come, then we write that you can actually go and seize land for the loan. Bahani Mili, when do we wait and give a borrower 90 days? To Amar Asina, when the borrower promised to come. He said, I'm going to come with the loan. Aval Amar Lo Asina, but if he never promised to come and pay back, La Alter Kasvina, right away we write that the lender can go seize land. Vahani Mili, and when did we say that if he promised that he was going to pay, we give him 90 days? Bemilva, that's in terms of a loan. Avo Bepikadon, but if it's not a loan, but rather he's watching an object, the Alter Kasvina, right away we say he's got to come and produce the object. Vahi Kasvina, and when do we write Amakarkari? Then we write that he can go collect from land. Avo Metalkli, low, but on movables, not to Meshamet Vahlu, Mavo Metalkli. Because maybe the borrower, the lender, is going to consume those movables. And then by the time the borrower comes with his witnesses to disprove the document, there won't be anything left for him to reclaim. However, if the lender himself has land, then we can write a writ of collection even from movables, because his own land could repay those movables if he consumed it and he wasn't entitled to it. Velohi, so the Gemara said this is wrong. Adrachta metalti lo kasvina afal gavd islam mekarki. We will not write a document on movables even though the lender has land. Because chayshinon shema taksif, we're worried that maybe the value of the land will go down, and then the borrower who pays maybe illegitimately is not going to be able to collect. And whenever we write a bill of collection, we tell the borrower, v'hani mili, and when is this true? Bidemikrav, when he's close by and we can let him know, avol mirchak, but if he's far away, well, we don't need to let him know. V'imirchak v'ikakrovim, and if he's far away, but there are people nearby, inam ikashiyarata da'azli v'asu asam, or there are caravans going back and forth, mashina le'tresa yarchishasa, we wait for 12 months, for an entire year, da'azla v'asu shayarta, until the caravan goes back and forth and he can come with them. Kiyad Ravina, like the story with Ravina, shalom aracha tresa yarchishasa, adla'asa v'asya shayarta mibeichozai. But the Gemara says, Velohi, that's not a proof. Hasam Inish Alimahu, the area was a very tough guy, and that's why we waited.
So you don't collateralize against movables? You don't.